Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The 442nd edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog has just added Pick'em Scorchers, where you can win 100 times your entry. Plus, every Sunday, they're giving away $100,000. Use promo code SGPN at Underdog Fantasy for a 100% deposit bonus of up to $500. We're also brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month and start making smarter bets today. And finally, us, the MMA Gambling Podcast, just launched our own YouTube channel. To celebrate, we're giving away an MMA Gambling Podcast hoodie. Just head on over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/MMA hoodie for all the details.
Adio, Degenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 442, it says on my screen, so that's what we're going with. This one's going out to Turnup, our boy Turnup, our friend in the Discord, has reappeared. He legitimately was in the jungle, and he's back in the Discord, back moving lines in the real world. So this goes out to Turnup. I didn't know turnips grew in the jungle, but apparently they do. Turnips are very durable vegetables. Apparently, root fruits. Maybe root fruit. That's not what they are. They're vegetables, I guess. Are turnips vegetables? Yeah.
And they're vegetables.
Yeah. Anyhow, I'm your host, Jeff Chalks Fox. Thanks for coming to the show. I lied last episode saying that we were done with the regional MMA. No, we are not. We got two more regional MMA episodes, and then we're back into the UFC swing of things. We're going to do CFFC 127 today, a promotion we haven't covered in a little bit. Obviously, I'm not doing this by myself. Those watching us on our YouTube channel, MMA Gambling Podcast on YouTube, they see I have a dreamy-eyed co-host right beside me who hopefully knows about all these fighters we're going to talk about today. I guarantee he does know about them. It would be the one and only Daniel Gumby Vreeland. Hello.
I knew about a lot of them beforehand.
That's what I was going to ask you.
Yeah, but when you asked me for the list, I mean, there's, you know, training partners of like really high level fighters in main events. We've got, I mean, a slew of people who have been on contender series. Yeah, I mean, there were a couple I had to dig a little bit on, but there were quite a few I knew too.
Good. That was what I was going to ask. So we did a whole week full of regional MMA last week. All those fights took place over the weekend. I think you did very well, at least according to the Discord. You were puffing your chest out that you did well. So let's do a little recap and let people know if there's any fights they should go and watch if they missed the stuff that happened this weekend.
I mean, pretty much the whole CF or the whole Cage Warriors card was exciting to watch. It was just like banger after banger after banger on that fight card. And in that one, which was the third of the three that we did, one fight got canceled. I believe that one got canceled due to, was it a weight miss or an illness? There was a couple that dropped off. So we originally broke down five for that card. One got knocked off due to some illness or some weight issues. And oh, that one was weight issues. And another one ended in a no contest after three straight testicle shots, which you have to appreciate.
That's all it takes, eh? three straight.
Three of them. Three straight, all within, I think, like 4 minutes of fight time, which is pretty impressive. Perfect. And then for the other three fights, clean sweep, wins in both the co-main event and the third fight from the top were both underdogs. We had a +120 and a +175, if I'm remembering correctly. And then we won on the main event as well, who is like a nice favorite in Gearlean, which was -180. And then if you want to go to LFA, LFA was the one that stayed largely intact. All five of the fights we broke down happened, and we went 4-1, which was another really good one, including, again, not an under, I guess an underdog in the opener, which was Shannon Clark beating Ira Brepp. She was betting off at like +100 by fight time, but like -110 when we broke down the fight. Still a slight dog because it was -120 on the other side. And then in the main event, my boy pulled out a knockout at the very last second, quite literally the last second. 4:59 of the third round, he picked up the TKO to pick up a +185 underdog there too. So we hit two underdogs on that show, two on the one before that. And then in Invicta, we originally broke down six fights on that one because that was the whole card. And we one of them dropped off. Tina Black did not wind up fighting because her opponent fell ill. And we went 4-1 there, too. So and hit a nice underdog in Amaro, who knocked off Hillary Rose. So altogether, 11-2, one no contest, five underdogs hit. And it was, I think, if you bet $100 equally on every fight, you would have been up 7.5 units. 775.
Fantastic. That's what Gumby is here for. That's why he's the Gumby God, the regional MMA Gumby God. Looks like a lot of people in the Discord had a good night with it too, or a good weekend overall. It wasn't just a night. It was a weekend of winning.
Yeah. And I think some people were getting a little fancier and playing some props and parlays too that, I mean, I guess if they tailed everything I did and you hit 11 out of 13, I mean, you couldn't have gone too wrong on very many parlays, especially because one of them, the Adorney losing to Riley Martinez fight, I'm pretty sure I said it was like one of the ones I felt the least confident in. So it makes sense that that was one of the ones I missed.
Yep, it would make sense. All right, so what are you on the year now? That must have bumped you up quite a bit.
That pretty much doubled the profit on the year because I had slipped a little bit in the last couple of months. You know, we started out hot, slipped a little bit in the last couple of months, but we're up about 15 units right now on
that's all, eh?
Regional MMA. We're like 50 fights over 500 and hitting like 60%. No big deal.
What other podcast is doing that? Nobody. No one's even covering this stuff. So there you go, people. Come on. Get your friends to listen. Get your enemies to listen. Everyone deserves these amazing picks. Oh, we haven't talked about your hat yet. It's a bear, I believe, this week. People watching on YouTube can see. It's a black bear, a brown bear. What kind of bear is it? You're the son of the bear whisperer. You let us know.
It's a black bear. It's from the I believe it's an independent league now, but they're the West Virginia Black Bears. So you see, the bear is actually shaped like the state. I think it's supposed to be shaped
like
the state of West Virginia. Yeah, look at that.
So cool. I don't know what West Virginia is shaped like, so I you could tell me it's shaped like West Virginia, and I would say, yeah, okay, whatever you say.
I don't think it's like a good West Virginia. I don't think it's a good West Virginia, but it's like a, you know, like, well, I think they tried.
Yeah, I'm still wearing a Suns hat because they're still winning, even though all their players are hurt. So, or it's great, they're sitting players out to start the season. It's fantastic. I'm glad the NBA is really cracking down on this Star City game. So, all right. Enough talk. Tell us about CFFC. We haven't covered it for a while. Why are they in Mississippi? Are they not usually over in your neck of the woods and the East Coast?
Yeah, they're usually like Philadelphia. I feel like their home base is like in Philadelphia. I don't know why they decided to go down south for this one. I think all the regional promotions, at least most of the ones we cover, like LFA and you know, Invicta and stuff like that, I think they're all trying to branch out just a little bit, right? We saw Invicta this past weekend in Boston. That's pretty rare. You know, like they're Kansas City, Denver, and that's pretty much it. And same with LFA. LFA for a long time has been like Texas, New Mexico, maybe a little bit further up in the Midwest, like Minnesota and stuff like that. But like they were in New York not that long ago. And I mean, they've always been you know, linked with Brazil, and they'll be in Brazil again this weekend, but they've been branching out more too. So I think this is just CFFC seeing if they can spread their wings and make some money elsewhere too.
How's the commission in Mississippi? I don't think we've covered anything Mississippi for a while. Are we going to have wonky judge scoring here or what?
Did we do any in Mississippi recently? For some reason, sure I feel like we talked about a regional one down south somewhere. I do know, I think Bayou FC sometimes does some fights in Mississippi, which is, yep. It sounds made up, but it's the fight organization of, do you remember Crazy Tim Crater? From the Ultimate Crazy Fighter. The season with Amir Sadala and Matt Brown and Matt Riddle. Crazy Tim Crater came from that season. So they have plenty of regional shows, so I feel like they got their reps in.
Okay, there you go. Gumby says judges will be perfect. So his picks will be perfect. The judges will be perfect. And what else is perfect is Underdog Fantasy, because they bring us into your ear holes and your eye holes now. Underdog Fantasy has a way to play alongside your favorite football team all season long. Underdog has just introduced Scorchers. Go 5 for 5 and pick 'em Scorchers and enjoy a spicy 100 times payout. And for a limited time, Underdog is extending the first deposit bonus up to $500. And if all that is not enough, because you're a greedy, greedy degen, $100,000 Sundays continues on Underdog Fantasy. 10 lucky players will win $10,000 each week. Give us a spicy Underdog play, any sport, Gumby, because we have discussed you're the king of all sports.
Oh, any sport. That's a tough one. I'm going to say I like the on Monday. I like the higher than on Pascal Siakam's rebounds. I got a good feeling about Pascal Siakam tomorrow.
He started off as slow this season. He's not up to his, well, at least scoring wise. Maybe I guess his rebound is all right. But all right, we're going higher than Pascal Siakam's rebounds. Take it and watch along. Any sport. You can watch along, make your picks, and maybe make a little cash over on Underdog's mobile app or website, underdogfantasy.com. And when you sign up with the promo code SGPN, Underdog will double your first deposit up to $500. This is Underdog Fantasy promo code SGPN. And we're brought to you by us, MMA Gambling Podcast. We're having a contest. We were hinting at it for the past few episodes. The MMA Gambling Podcast just launched the YouTube channel. If you're watching, thank you. If you're not, make sure you subscribe. Take a peek at it. In honor of that, we're giving away an MMA Gambling Podcast hoodie to one lucky winner. I'm wearing an MMA Gambling Podcast hoodie as I speak these words to you. Head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/MMA hoodie, HOODIE, to submit your entry today and make sure to subscribe to the MMA Gambling Podcast on YouTube. So all you got to do is subscribe, send us a screenshot that you're subscribed, enter the contest, boom. You're in the draw. Easy as that. And you can look cool like me with an MMA Gambling Podcast hoodie on. All right. Let's go. We're going to Mississippi. Tanika, Mississippi. Have you ever been to Tanika, Mississippi, to the Horseshoe Casino and Hotel, Gumby?
I've never been to the Horseshoe Casino and Hotel, but I've been through Tanika, Mississippi.
All right. There you go. How is it, Gumby?
I mean, unmemorable when you're too young to go to the casino in the town.
Yeah. How is the interstate that goes through there? Nice stretch of interstate, Gumby.
There's a very nice stretch of interstate there. And I believe there's like one eatery, which.
Oh, perfect. I think
you have to call it an eatery.
Everyone hangs out at the Horseshoe Casino Hotel, and they especially will be this Friday. We're going to be in November already by then. It will be November the 3rd, 7 p.m. Eastern. CFFC 127 Klein versus Navarrete on UFC Fight Pass. That makes it convenient. Hopefully you have UFC Fight Pass. It's in a cage. Sadly, it's not some crazy thing with the shark pit or anything. It's a normal cage. 10 MMA belts. We're going to break down half of them for you. How nice is that for us? How is this in terms of CFFC fight cards? Gumby, in terms of quality or names?
It's a good one. It's got very clear big show potential in the main event. The strawweight title fight, first of all, first ever time they ever crowned a strawweight champion in the history of the organization. I think the winner should clearly be in line for a UFC bid, and I think they clearly have somebody they want to be. I won't bury the lead. And there's some other people on here with like real potential too. Plus CFFC does a good job of taking like a couple of dudes who lost on Contender Series and jamming them in about against one another. And I think they did a good job of making that happen here too. In like a fairly competitive light heavyweight fight in the co-main.
All right. That's a problem. Maybe not a problem. They know that's the business they're in, but when you're a feeder league, you're basically, your titles remain vacant because second someone wins it, UFC usually comes a call in, right?
Yeah. So whoever wins this, again, it's going to be vacant. Maybe the other person will fight for it a second time.
That's true. For another vacant title. All right. We're not starting with that, though. We're starting with light heavyweights. Justice, J-U-S-T-U-S. Falu, I believe. Is that right? Or is that an L or an I? I can't tell.
It's an I. Faiu.
Faiu versus Philip Latu. And we don't have any odds, right? Or I don't have any odds. I assume you don't either, right?
I don't at this point, no.
Okay. Usually odds are available on most books for this, for CFFC events.
Yeah, I mean, like in dead weeks, question mark. Like with no UFC, they upload much quicker. But even in non-dead weeks, like this is one that'll probably show up on all the bigger books, and it'll definitely show up on the offshores. Probably within a day or two of this recording.
All right, fantastic. That's kicker off with Latu. The Doctor is the nickname. 4-1 with 4 knockouts. He's been submitted once, so he's never gone the distance. Won 2 straight fights via knockout or TKO. Obviously, because that's the only way he wins. This is his CFFC debut. Used to fight at heavyweight, 2-1 as a kickboxer and a champion in that realm. 0-1 as a boxer, 3 inches taller than Faiu. Faiu, Mr. Poetic. What a great nickname, right?
I love it.
You got to get him on your show. Okay, that other show of yours. Mr. Poetic is 6-3 with 5 knockouts. He's been submitted once. This is his CFFC debut. He's won 2 straight fights in 3 of 4. Did lose his last fight via knockout. Or TKO, actually. That was back in September of 2022. Was a regional champion. Used to fight down at welterweight and down at middleweight. 0-1 in bare-knuckle MMA. And he's 4 years younger than Latu. Give us the odds. Give us a breakdown. Give us a winner. Give us it all.
I think Fiau is going to probably be a favorite here. I'm going to say like -165, probably like a +130 return on Latu. And I like the favorite here. We're in like a weird spot here, though, because Latu has been doing a lot of his fights up at heavyweight. And in a lot of those fights, he was like badly out-muscled in the clinch. Some of that, I think, is because he's just like not very technically smart in the clinch, but also some of it is because he was undersized. And then when you look down at Fiau, he's been fighting actually at middleweight. So you almost have like a guy coming up and a guy coming down. So obviously, like, you'd worry about Fiau's size most of the time in a situation like this. But like Latu's been weighing in at like 225 for a lot of his bouts. So it's like, it's not like he's going to be a large light heavyweight. And he's already kind of bad at using his weight anyway. So I kind of throw that out the window when we're looking at the weight here. And actually, I think Fiau is just so much faster. And I think that's going to be a big piece of this fight. You know, obviously the benefit of being the smaller guy is usually that when you're coming up in weight, you're going to be a lot faster. I think he's going to be a lot faster here. I think he's going to touch Latu a lot more. And also, like, Latu, even in those heavyweight fights, when he throws and he looks comfortable throwing, he's like right there to be countered. So at the end of the day, like when you compare all of those things, as long as Latu doesn't lean on like heavy wrestling and leaning on the cage, which he's been bad at anyway, I think Fiau is going to win this one. So I'm going to say he's probably a slight favorite, and I'm going to go with Fiau here.
All righty. Are these two guys you were familiar with beforehand?
These are two of the ones I definitely had to research. I was less familiar with these guys out the gate.
All right. We're going down to middleweights. How about these guys? Do you know these guys?
I knew both of these guys already. Yeah.
All right. And they would be Kazimirat Bestiev from Russia, I believe. That's a Russian flag. Yes. Versus Kenan Patrushuk from the good old Canada. I know the Canadian flag, of course. All right. We'll tell you about the Canadian first. Patrushuk Parada is his nickname, which I think in Portuguese means fight, or it means like all out, balls out type things. Does that sound right, or don't you know that?
Yeah, that sounds right.
All right. Do you agree, or are you just agreeing for the sake of agreeing? Or do you
I agree. I'm pretty sure that we used to go on Renato Laranja's shirts and stuff like that.
All right, cool. There you go. All right, Patrushuk, 4-1, 3 knockouts, 1 submission. So he's finished everyone. He himself has never been finished in a fight. 1-0 in CFFC. He's won 2 straight fights via knockout or TKO. And he's 5 years younger than Bestiev. 11-5, 4 knockouts, 6 submissions. He's been knocked out 3 times, submitted twice. So these guys owe us rounds for sure. This is his CFFC debut, 1-1 in Bellator, 0-1 in Contender Series. Who did you lose to, Dad? I don't know off the top of my head. You tell me.
Bestiev lost to. I can't remember. I have circled down who everybody else lost to, I think, because we got a bunch of other contender series losers here, but yep, I can't remember who best IF.
That's why I can't remember.
I can't remember who best IF lost to.
Phil Haas.
Oh, Phil Haas. Phil Haas knocked him silly. Yeah, I remember that. He was real out.
All right. He's got loss, win, loss over his last three. He did get TKO'd in his last fight. That was back in October of 2022. Has not won a fight since August of 2021. Used to fight at light heavyweight, 2013 pro MMA debut, 7 inches taller than Pastor Shook. Okay, go ahead.
I'm going to say this one's a pick'em. For two reasons. Patashuk has looked a little bit better as of late. Obviously, you know, you mentioned the layoffs and the not good results for Best I Have. Best I Have got a Russian name, has been on Contender Series, more well known. So let's say this one comes down to a pick'em. And I'm gonna take Patashuk. I think you know, and what we've saw from Best I Have, and granted it's been a little bit since we've seen him, he does a lot of, like, I think his biggest move and the thing you see him do most repeatedly, and actually to his detriment, the thing you see him do most repeatedly, is he does like a step in knee, and his hands come right down every single time he throws this step in knee. And, you know, I think that's a big problem against Patashuk, who, I mean, like, this dude throws. Like, when this dude is trying to hit somebody, he really hits somebody. He ripped into somebody's legs in his last fight. He's not shy about winding up for a punch. It may not be the most technical thing, but, like, I think Bestayev, the way he strikes, like, almost won't be able to deal with it, because he, like, you know, he puts himself in a position where he's going to be up on one leg, and he's either going to eat, like, one of the most massive leg kicks you've ever seen, or he's going to eat one to the chin when his hands come down. And when you look at what Patashuk has had issues with in the past, it's mostly just, like, people who try to take him down early in fights. And the thing is like, Best I Have, despite the last name and the Russian background and stuff like that, doesn't actually have very much grappling. I actually think Patashuk would probably do better in the grappling than Best I Have if it came to it. So I'm going to go with Patashuk. I think you should be able to get even money on him, but honestly, I think he's like a parlay piece all the way up into like negative 200, because I think he's got a huge advantage here.
Fantastic. Hopefully we get some nice lines for that once it drops. All right. I know a place that maybe they won't have nice lines, but they have light, nice info for you to help you get nice lines. That would be Hall of Fame Bets. Win bigger by betting smarter this NFL season with Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NFL, NBA, MLB, and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Enter any parlay idea into Hall of Fame Bets' revolutionary parlay optimizer tool to get hit rates broken down by leg, as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot and which picks have value. Stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame Bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame Bets.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
All right, we're dropping way down to men's bantamweights. DeAndre Anderson, American, versus Gage Gill, American. 3 5-minute rounds. Gill is 5-0. 3 knockouts, 2 submissions. So he's finished everyone. This is his CFFC debut. 2 years younger than Anderson, 1 inch taller. That's all I got. Anderson, the protege, is the nickname. 6-3, 2 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been knocked out once, submitted twice. So he's been finished in all of his losses. 1-3 in CFFC, 1-3 over his last 4. However, he did win his last fight. That's where the 1 came from. Used to fight up at featherweight, I believe, because I put down bantamweight, but this fight's at bantamweight. So we'll say featherweight. He was 1-2 as a pro boxer, 0-1 as a pro kickboxer. Go ahead. You can't know these guys. 5-0 with no CFFC experience.
I did know DeAndre Anderson. Okay. I'd seen him fight before. He had been scheduled to fight for, I want to say it was Empire FC, which is just across the border into New York. So I'd like seen some of his fights before. Gage Gill, I had never seen or heard of. I think he's going to be a massive favorite here just based on like the record alone, right? Like a 5-0 prospect who CFFC just snatched up. Like the books are going to love that. So I'm going to say like negative 275 for Gage Gill, plus 230 on the return for DeAndre Anderson. And I'm going to take Anderson here. I went back and I watched some Gage Gill, because again, wasn't familiar with Gage Gill. slow and sloppy is what I would say. His jiu-jitsu, really tight. Like he took somebody's back, put the hooks in the right way. His arms went in the right place. He finished the submission exactly the way you would want him to. But like wrestling wise, just kind of like got a hold of the guy and just like ran around in a circle until the other guy fell down. His striking, you know, like all arms, doesn't seem like he has a good sense of like putting combinations together and doing anything that isn't like rote. Anytime he has to like think about something, it starts to look bad. And Anderson, look, the big knock on Anderson is going to be his cardio. Like if he can't get it done in the first 6 minutes of the fight, he is going to be tired for the last 9 minutes of the fight. And some of that's just because he expends so much energy. He is, he's clearly got a Thai or a Taekwondo background. His hands stand like he's Thai, but he throws spinning back kicks like they're, like he's a Taekwondo guy. Maybe it's capoeira. Maybe he's got a little capoeira in him, but like he's got really good kicks. He's got really good power. He's super fast. He low-key has got some pretty good wrestling. Like somebody caught one of his kicks and he actually countered it and he wound up being the one wrestling. And so like, I think Gage Gill's like sloppy wrestling isn't going to have anything on him. And I think he's going to blow him out of the water on the feet. So if you can get Anderson here at a dog at all, I think that's the right play. And I think that's what it's going to be here. So yeah, give me DeAndre Anderson.
Any flex money, take him. What if he is a favorite or pick him?
You know, as a favorite, first of all, it'd be shocked if he was 6-3 against the 5-0 guy as a favorite. So this is one where I feel like I'm pretty confident in the line. I would say I'd still feel good about him into like I might sprinkle a little bit less on him, but I might still sprinkle something on him at like -130, -140.
Okay. What was your official prediction for the line?
I think he's going to be like +230, +235.
Ooh, fantastic. All right. There you go. Let's move on to our co-main event of the evening. Actually, no, we're not doing. Are we doing the co-main event next? I guess we are. Yes. Jones and Murray. All right. 205. That would be light heavyweight. Jamel Jones from America versus Jesse Murray from America as well. I'll tell you about Mr. Murray first. 9-5. One knockout. Four submissions. He's been knocked out four times, submitted once. So he has been finishing all his fights that he's lost. This is his CFFC debut. Loss, win, loss over his last three. He did get submitted in his last fight. That was back in October of 2022. Was a regional champion. Used to fight at middleweight. 5 years younger than Jones. 3 inches taller. 3 inches of reach on him. Jones is the beast. 13-8. 8 knockouts. 3 submissions. He's been knocked out 4 times. Submitted twice. 4-2 in CFFC. And used to be their champion at heavyweight. He's gone 1-2 over his last three. Won his last fight via submission. That was back in September 2022. So both guys are coming off a bit of a layoff here. Was regional champ. He's got a lot of experience. Here we go. 1-2 in PFL, 0-1 in Bellator, 0-1 in Contender Series, 0-1 in The Ultimate Fighter. As I said about him winning the championship, he used to fight at heavyweight, and he's been around since 2013. Okay.
So I think Jamel Jones probably going to come in here as a decent favorite. We'll say like -200 here to like +175 on the return. Both of these guys were on Contender Series. One of them was looking all right until he took a flying knee and got knocked out. That was Jamel Jones. Mike Rodriguez knocked him out. Jesse Murray looked terrible, but he fought Kaib Ohio. So, you know, for whatever that's worth. Jamel Jones, I think, has had some bad results lately. Like, I think we would probably see a much higher line on Jamel Jones right now if he was not fighting at heavyweight for as long as he was. Like, he's fought his last few fights at heavyweight. So I think for all those reasons, I think he's probably going to wind up being a pretty large favorite now, but could be much larger. I think he's going to out-wrestle Murray, if I'm being honest. I just think Murray's got some really great things he does in the wrestling game, but just not good enough sub and takedown defense when it comes to somebody who chains stuff together. And Jamel Jones is just a guy who, when he fails, he's got another one in the chamber. And he's been doing it against heavyweights who, like, lean on him. And I don't think Murray is as, you know, obviously not as heavy, but not as tough as some of those heavyweights, too. So give me Jamel Jones. I think he probably just grinds him out, maybe get some ground and pound in there, too.
All right. Fantastic. Main event time for the Cage Fury FC vacant strawweight championship. And we predict it will remain vacant because whoever wins it will vacate it. We got Fatima Klein from the United States of America against the Jasmine Navarrete from Chile. The Chile takeover of MMA continues. Five-minute rounds, 115 pounds. We talked about Klein before, right? Because she was in Invicta. I don't think we've talked about Navarrete before, right?
I don't think we've talked about Navarrete. She's fought in a lot in Combate, but we've talked about Klein as both a fighter and a training partner of a very high-level MMA fighter we know.
All right. Let me give you the info, and then Gumby will fill in the blanks. We'll talk about Navarrete first. La Pantera. We got another Pantera. She's 6-0 with two knockouts. This is her CFFC debut, and she's stepping right into a title fight. She won her last fight via TKO, used to fight up at flyweight. That's all I got for her. Klein, the Archangel, Fatima Klein. 4-0 with one knockout, one submission. This is her CFFC debut. All of her fights have been in Invicta, so she's fought at a high level. She also is an accomplished grappler, 2 years younger than Navarrete, 4 inches taller, 4 inches of reach. All right, Gumby, fill in the blanks.
Klein's going to be a massive favorite, negative 350. If she's any less than that, use her in a parlay all the time. This fight seemingly was set up for her to need a belt so that she could go to the UFC. She is the number one training partner right now of Aaron Blanchfield. And it's shown in the way that her game is developed because, as you mentioned, she's an accomplished grappler. And when she was first sort of like making her waves into MMA, everybody was like, oh, she can grapple. It'd be nice if other stuff got polished off too. And what she showed in her last couple of fights is that it is polished off. She fought a very high-level judoka last time out. She dealt with the takedown. She actually got some of her own in there and out-grappled her. But also, she, like, just started to put things together better in her hands, too. So, like, she's an exceptionally good grappler who is slowly rounding out the rest of her game. CFFC knows this. They clearly want her in the spotlight and hopefully in the UFC sometime. They found her in a opponent who's formidable. She's got a good record. You know, she got taken down early in her last fight, so she's kind of just like a nice style matchup. And also her way of striking, it just like she's like one of those people who, when she strikes, like rushes forward and like bangs into the clinch, and like that's gonna play right into Klein's game because she's not gonna hit her with anything so hard that she's gonna knock her out. Then she's gonna be in a clinch, and that's when Klein makes her hay. So I think this is a gift wrap matchup for Klein. I think you're going to see the books reflect the same thing, probably in the negative 350 range. And I still think it's probably worth throwing in a parlay to try to juice up some odds somewhere. So yeah, give me Klein here as a big fave.
What do you think of her as a UFC prospect?
I think I said this about my tobacco oral buy last week, is that like when I see a grappler who's clearly high level, who's very good at what they do on the mats, I want to see them round everything out. I want to see them start to figure out the rest of it. And I think oral buy, you know, like kind of shook off some of those worries we had. Granted, it was against a terrible opponent and somebody who couldn't strike with him. He couldn't strike with anybody. He just tries to pull guard all the time. So oral buy has started to like assuage some of those concerns. I think Klein's still got a little bit to go. I'd like to see her striking work on its own. Right now her striking seems to work mostly just because everybody's so afraid of her grappling that they're like in a stance ready to block a shot or something like that. I would like to see it work a little bit better here, but this is the right kind of opponent for us to see it work because, again, she's not going to hit her with anything super hard coming in. She's going to wind up where she wants to be anyway. So hopefully before any of that happens, we get to see her let go a little bit and do well on the feet. So, I think she obviously belongs in the UFC. Like she would have been Invicta champ in a couple of fights had, you know, like the Invicta belt was already locked up and people knew who was fighting for it next, right? Like we knew Danny McCormick was fighting Karolina Wojcik in that fight, and it was going to take her the winner a while to heal up. So I think she took this fight knowing this is my quicker path to the UFC. Let's go get a belt on a big regional promotion, and she's doing it the right way. So yeah, I think she's got a lot of potential. Again, like with any grappling prospect, we want to see some hands.
Yep, we want to see her put it all together. So we shall see on Friday night if she's taking steps in that direction. All right, let's recap and get out of here. He's got Klein, he's got Jones, he's got Anderson, he's got Patterchuk, excuse me, and he's got Fayau, Mr. Poetic, right?
That's correct.
All right. Coming back tomorrow with one more regional MMA show, and then we're back with the big boys, the UFC, coming Wednesday and Thursday shows this week. You can talk to us more if you like in the Discord, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. Twitter, SGPN MMA. Gumby runs that account for us. He is at Gumby Vreeland. I'm at Jeff Fox Writer on there and on Instagram. We do have YouTube, as we said. Enter our contest. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, MMA Gambling Podcast on YouTube. I have a Substack you can subscribe to. Enter my Pick'em, UFC Pick'em contest. Get all my writing and podcasts in your ears and eye holes. That would be moneymma.substack.com. And Gumby's other podcasts, the Top Turtle MMA podcast, drops midweek, pretty much every week. Are we going to give them a highlight for this coming week? Do we know who's on it? Are we going to leave that for now?
Yeah, I actually got three guests this week. I had extra interviews come through and just couldn't say no. I'm talking to Modestus Bukauskas, who's on an absolute sick run right now. I'm talking to Vince Pichel, who is always very, very entertaining. And I'm talking to Kai Bohio, who is mentioned earlier on the show and on an incredible run as well.
A killer lineup of guests. So make sure you listen to that. And all good things in the sports gambling sphere is at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. And our Patreon, make sure you get in our Patreon, help us crush corporate gambling. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon. We shall be back tomorrow with some LFA action for you. It will be me, the Archangel Jeff Fox, and La Pantera Gumby Vreeland will be riding shotgun as per usual. We will see you and you'll hear from us then. Bye.